Blind Cool Tech 84, August 2105. Hey y'all, how is everybody? I'm Larry Skutkan, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. And as you can tell, we're back. Back in full force. I missed podcasting badly, and I missed you guys. So we've got some recordings we made while we were in Arkansas here. Mainly sounds of the farm, so nothing techie at all about this show. Before we get to that, though, I heard something on the Republic of Avalon radio podcast that I thought was very cool, and here it is.
Yeah, okay, one more little shout-out. There's a show out of Louisville, Kentucky, by a fella called Larry Skutkan. It's simply called Blind Cool Tech, which is a little misleading, because although he covers an awful lot of good, interesting material he did a little kind of review slash demonstration of a media center, an actual dedicated box running Windows media center. I thought it was brilliant. He does various kinds of things. Well, one thing that he does is he walks to and from work with his guide dog, Jake, and talks to you and me just about whatever might be on his mind. Some emails that he's gotten from his listeners and some things of interest. So that's one for you to go and have a look at, whether you're blind or not. That's a good one for you to check out, Blind Cool Tech with Larry Skutkan. And I've actually been in touch with Larry. We've had a couple of chats on the phone and swapped a few emails, and he was having some problem with his show. Apparently he brought the server. And Larry, the server that his show was on. I got some birdies.
Yeah.
The server came down. People were hitting it too hard, downloading. That's another advantage, by the way. If you guys are wondering, why should I install this iPodder program and subscribe to the show? Because I can just go to republicofavalonradio.com and click on it and download it. The advantage for you is that you don't have to do any of that. If you subscribe to it, the shows will just automatically come to your computer whenever there's a new show available. The consideration of you doing that, and we would appreciate it very much if you did it, the subscription is free. It doesn't... we even took the word subscription off the page because figured it would, you know, be a bit misleading. I think, what is it we say there now? Join? Join us? Or
join for free, isn't it?
Join for free or join us, or there's a button on the top there. But by doing that, you end up getting the programs automatically. Whenever we put up a new show, it'll just be there. You won't have to go hunting for it. And it's a very considerate thing for you to do to help us out, because what it does, it distributes the strain on the servers. So instead of everybody downloading it at the same time or whatever, if people are subscribed and the computers are grabbing it individually, there's a good chance that's going to be staggered out across over time, and it's not going to be all hands rushing at it at the same hour of the morning or the evening or Saturday afternoons or whatever. So I guess poor Larry couldn't convince enough people to subscribe, and everybody was going and physically downloading the shows from the site and crashed his server. So he had to take the day he was supposed to go on his vacation, he had to cancel his flight and go in and transfer everything over to another server.
All right. Thank you, Jim, for the shout-out from the Republic of Avalon Radio podcast. That is very neat. I don't know what it is, but there's something about hearing about your podcast on another podcast that's gratifying in some way. Okay, now we have the sounds of the farm from my dad's farm down in Hope, Arkansas. And these were recorded with the binaural microphones, so if you have some headphones on, you might get a better appreciation. So here you are.
Okay, this is going to be the sound of cows bellowing.
Cows!
That wasn't it.
Yeah.
Blondes?
Yeah. Cows!
They know they're bellowing for you.
They know they're being recorded.
They're coming, but they're not bellowing. But I'll be. Hey, cows! They're not going to bellow. Sorry.
Oh, well.
There's
one.
Hey, cows! Coming and running though. There's a cow in heat. The bulls, the bull calves, and the bulls following her.
They just get up here and start eating grass, don't they?
Can you hear it?
Yeah. Yeah, those some good ones though.
Yeah, but usually they all start bellowing. If they were farther away, they would. I guess they're up close to me. They don't want to respond today. Yeah, that's all they do.
The best thing in the world for country sounds. They sent us to a business meeting in Key West, Florida this year, where I've never had any desire to go for any reason. But we're in Key West, Florida, and for some reason, 100 years ago, the people of Key West decided to let roosters run loose on the streets the way cats and dogs do in other cities.
Mm-hmm.
And we went out to go for a walk early in the morning about 5 o'clock to enjoy the dawn where there's nobody even out in Key West because it's a party town.
Yeah.
And you could stand flat-footed and could hear 30 to 40 roosters going at various places all over the city everywhere, and it was the most beautiful sound. And I decided every city needs to be full of roosters.
That is neat.
Well, we have a rooster. We have a rooster up the road here. You hear him this morning when you come out?
Mm-mm.
No? A dirty rascal. He crows every morning.
We laughed and laughed because there were 3 or 4 roosters living happily in nests that they built in the bushes outside Kentucky Fried Chicken. What a life.
We're going in the chicken house.
This is the end. This is the middle.
Okay.
Let me just leave that gate open. Door open for now. Okay. Watch your head. Very low clearance.
So there's 2 doors.
I got to wait a while for guests to settle.
And you make a noise so they'll all fly off.
Well, I made it just by opening the door. I usually knock. Is that a terrific breeze? Oh, I didn't tell you about the big step.
Yeah, that's a nice breeze.
You hear them?
Mm-hmm. So you have feeders running all along the length of it?
Yep.
2. And waterers?
4 feeders, yeah. 2 lengths of waterers and 4 tracks of feeders. When they eat only every other day.
It's surprisingly cool in here.
Oh, yeah. If that door shut, you can just feel a breeze come through here. Yeah, step in here a little bit. Feel it?
Yeah.
Face to your left, and you can feel
it. Wow, and it's what, 90-something outside?
Yeah, it's a bunch cooler in here. And the air is a lot fresher than it used to be when before we went to this pure blackout. Because there's, each end of the chicken house has got, on the one end it's got 6 48-inch fans, and on the other end is a light trap that's the same size, the same volume, so that the air coming through here is, it really moves out.
And why do they want it blacked out?
They only have light for 8 hours a day. It's going to be dark in here in about an hour and a half. And they want them to be, not to grow very fast.
Oh.
They want to hold them back. And then when they go in the laying house at 20 weeks, they put them in full light. And the chickens, they're pale now. They develop immediately and start laying eggs.
Oh, good darn.
Yeah.
So they just don't want them to lay eggs too soon.
No. They want them to grow first. Oh, you can hear them now. See, if you come now, they've eaten already today. So they hear they're kind of moving around. If they don't eat, boy, we'd be mobbed. Okay?
Oh, yep, they're everywhere.
Here, they're there, they're everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
You can sure feel that breeze, those fans from here.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Larry, now you got to duck down and step over a 2x10.
Yeah. I gotcha.
There's a 2x4 right above your head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, now hang on. There's a 2x4 above your head now.
Yeah. All right. Step down. Okay.
Gotcha.
Yep. I don't know why they built them. I guess I do too know why. Because my grandfather, his setup looked just like this. When we walked up here, his door was right beside the feeder.
See, when we built these weren't here. These rooms weren't here. And so it kind of made it low here because we had to add this room on. This is a sanitary room, they called it. And Hudson, we used to raise with Hudson, we used to have to put disinfect in that, keep it in that pan there. And Tyson doesn't believe in that. Tyson wants you to expose them to disease and the bacteria and all that stuff. They're immune to it that way.
Yeah.
Instead of vaccinating them, they do that. And we have to clean out every 6 months and disinfect, wash down, take all the litter out. And now with Tyson, they do it every 2 or 3 years. They take the litter out. Never wash it down until you take the litter out. Wash it down once every 2 or 3 years.
Can you tell the difference? I mean, do they? No.
It was more expensive to raise them with Tyson.
Yeah.
Because we had to buy litter every 6 months and have somebody clean it out every 6 months.
You mean with Hudson?
With Hudson, yeah.
Well, tell us about these chicken houses, Paul.
Okay. Well, I don't know how far you got before, but there. You asked me how long they were, how big they were. They're 32 feet wide and 440 feet long. And
right by.
They're, like I said, they were one of a kind. Since when we first built them, they were built for holding all the pullets and all the roosters for one flock. And then they decided there were too many chickens in there, so they cut us back and we have excess space now. All the rest of them were 375 feet long now. And they don't raise roosters in them. They have special houses just for roosters. Uh-huh. We didn't have it that way.
And why do they do that?
Well, they keep them separate. I don't know. We used to... I don't know why they did that. We raised them separate, too. We had fences in the chicken house, and we had roosters on one end and pullets on the other in both houses. And then when they picked them up, they mixed them up, kind of. Then they have to pick them out again because they... They have to have a certain ratio of roosters to hens. I don't know what, I think it's 1 to 10 or something like that. And so now the roosters are raised in a separate area. And we only raise 2/3 of a flock. We used to raise the whole thing, now it's 2/3. And another farm has the other 1/3 and they have the roosters on another farm.
And you have 2 chicken houses here and that's
right.
There's a 1/3 in each one.
There's a third in each one, and there's another farm has another 1/3.
Well, I don't know. What makes a flock? Is there a certain number that makes a flock, or
20 geese will make a flock? No, it's full flock is 21,000. No, it's more than that. We have 8,700 in each house. So 87 and 87 is 17,400, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
and add another 87 to that. 22.5, right?
I guess.
I don't know. Uh-huh. I have to get my calculator. But anyway, that's a full flock. And that's what goes into a laying house, is that many. Each laying house is built to hold that many chickens.
Oh, to hold the whole flock.
Yeah.
And you're raising these to be laying chickens.
Right, right.
And how, you get them when you said they were a day old?
Get them when they're a day old. We keep them for 20 weeks. And usually get them on a Friday. And so their birthday is on a Friday, and we keep them over the weekend, and they go out the following Monday and Tuesday.
Hmm.
And they go into a laying house where they lay for a year, and then they replace them. And they go, our chickens at the laying house, the eggs go into a hatchery, and this hatchery produces 1,300,000 chickens a week.
Eggs a week, you mean?
Chicken, baby chicks.
Oh.
The hatchery.
Oh, okay.
And so the processing plant also processes 1,300,000 a week. So that's how many chickens they just keep rotating constantly. So you set out, there's that many hatch in a week and they kill that many in a week. So the population's always the same.
Hmm.
So they tell me.
And you were saying something about other people raise broilers around here?
Yeah, that's what our chickens, when they lay the eggs, that's the broilers that come out of the hatchery.
Oh.
And the broilers, they keep those only 45 days now. And all the broilers in this area go to the plant here in Hope, and that's strictly for McDonald's. They raise only chickens for McDonald's here.
Hmm.
And it's probably other plants do too, but this one is strictly McDonald's. It used to be for Johnny Carino and KFC and I guess probably McDonald's too, I don't know. Churches? Yeah, these type churches.
Well, now, isn't there a place around here that raises, that they lay eggs for, to sell eggs in the grocery store too?
Yeah, that's a different company. That's the one that is here in Hope is, what in the name? Well, Danny works. Del Mesa.
And so, how are the chickens that you're raising? I mean, where do those chickens come from that lay those eggs? Are they different from these chickens that?
They're different kind of chickens. They call them highlines. You don't. They're not eating chickens like these are.
Oh.
Highlines are kind of a thin chicken.
Hmm.
Slim, and the eggs are not fertile that come from those chickens. They don't have any roosters in there.
Oh, okay.
Just the hens lay. Although, do you know they keep a few roosters in some of those houses? They clean the hens and lay more if there's a rooster in there.
Hmm.
But they don't intermix. The roosters are in their own pen.
Yeah. And so how did you get into this chicken business?
Mom did it. She went to the bank and borrowed the money to build chicken houses. And, and we came into it. She, and the first couple of years that we raised them, she and I did it all together, and then I quit working out and I stayed home, so I did, from then on I did most of it, because she'd help me vaccinate, and we modernized that, so she didn't have to help me do that. We do it all by mechanically now, so we used to do it all by hand.
Hmm.
And we used to have raised curtains by hand and
Vaccinate by hand.
And now we put electric curtain machines on there that would automatically open and close the curtains. And then we went to blackout, where they only have lights for 8 hours a day, and then there's black curtains in there, and the lights go out at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They stay dark until 6 the next morning. They eat every other day at 6 in the morning. That's it, I guess.
So how many hours a day do you, like, I know you're leasing them out now, but when you were working them, how many hours a day do you spend on them or in a normally?
This is kind of embarrassing, about an hour.
But that's if you got everything. You put a lot of work into it ahead of time to make it so it's only an hour a day.
Yeah. feed. Like I said, it's automatic feeders, so they start up and you just have to weigh the feed out for the next feed, which is the 2 days from then. So really, every other day, it's an hour.
Wow. So how do the rest of us get into this business?
So you actually stop and think, I made over $100 an hour. But no, it's... You spend some time. You have to spend time on repairs and stuff. But as far as keeping the chickens up, it's about an hour. It takes about an hour. Pick up dead chickens and put them in the composter and run your feed up for the next time.
Hmm.
I was usually done by 7 o'clock in the morning. So, like this guy here that leases him now, he works full time. And he does this before and after work.
Oh.
Mostly before work.
And
it's kind of a part-time job. Most people do it just part-time.
Yeah. Unless they have, you know, 8 or 10 houses or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, if you have 8 or 10 houses, you can't hardly work outside. But 2 houses, you can. Most people do work out. And, the 10, there's 10, some farms have 10, 12 houses.
Hmm.
But that's pretty much a full-time job there.
Not bad.
And broilers are a good bit of jobs. Good bit of more work than pullets are, because you gotta get ready for them to go out every 45 days, and there's a lot of work with them. The pullets are really easy.
Now, are broilers different kinds of houses than what you have?
No, they're pretty much the same. They just feed different.
Hmm.
See, ours have 4 lines of feeders because they feed every other day, and them chickens are hungry, so they jump on those feeders, and they eat them up right away. They eat those four lines up. Where Broder, he gets fed every few hours, and he's not that hungry. He goes over there and eats, and then that's it. But these here, they're starved, and they're ready to eat.
Why is it they want to make them starve like that?
Well, they don't really want to starve them. They just don't want them to grow fast. They want them to mature slowly.
Yeah.
If you feed them chickens full, boy, by the time they go out of here, feeding them full feed, they'd weigh a ton. I mean, they...
And that's what they want with the broilers.
Yeah.
They just want them to put weight on.
Put weight on them fast. And these here, they weigh them every week. And there's a certain standard they have. And those chickens have to weigh that standard every week. So when they pick them up, all those chickens are supposed to be pretty much the same size. And they mature the same size. And they go into a laying house, and they pick them up from here and go into a laying house, and they put them on full lights in there. And so the chickens just blossom out, start laying, roosters start crowing, and about 2 weeks later they start laying eggs. And you know, all this blackout, it's all, the way I understand it, it's the chickens will lay a week earlier than they do without it. Just out all this work for 1 week, but if you get it over 1,900,000 or something, 300,000, that's a lot of eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, then, yeah, I guess so.
So that's it. And you got the chickens in the chicken house, you could hear them in there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that part came out pretty good. And there was a little bit of wind noise, I guess, when the door was open, but...
There is wind noise in there.
Yeah.
Pretty breezy in there.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you know, what made you decide to get into chickens in the first place? I mean, it's not something you...
Well, before I retired from the Air Force, I looked for something to do ahead of time. And we used to come down to Arkansas, and Ma's Uncle Kenneth was raising chickens, and he told me, he said, that's an easy way to make a living. What he didn't tell me was, you don't make much, but he... But it was an easy way of living. And your pride of ownership of owning something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it is kind of nice. You got a time to yourself the rest of the day, but you can't go anywhere while you're growing chickens. I mean, you got to be here every day. So we were out for a couple of weeks, always between batches. So that's when we used to go visiting. Then you had to, in between, you got to get ready for the next batch.
And it's a couple of weeks in between batches?
It has been, but now I understand it's going to be 6 weeks between this batch and the next batch.
Hmm.
There's too many pullets now.
Hmm.
so they're cutting back. One farm, excuse me, one farm went out of business. They just closed up, and then they cut back on the rest of them.
Yeah.
And that hell, that's the only other way they could do it is cut another farm around. They didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
This guy retired on his own.
Hmm.
That's about it, huh? Yeah.
And that's about going to do it for this issue of Blind Cool Tech. I'm Larry Skutkan, your host for the show. If you would like to get in contact with us, the number for the comm-in line is 206-984-9203, and our email address is blindcooltech@gmail.com. Y'all have a great one, and we will see you next time.